Yes, I am a local church pastor in Wake Forest, North Carolina, Hope Baptist Church, and I'm also the director of a ministry called Church and Family Life, and we're everything we do is to try to proclaim the sufficiency of Scripture for church and family life. We want to say that families need strong churches and churches need strong families. And so we try to speak to, you know, many matters of the sufficiency of Scripture for both the church and the family. We think that they're complementary in nature, though separate jurisdictions, but both, you know, need tremendous attention in the local church. So that's what we do. You can go to our website at churchandfamilylife.com. That's churchandfamilylife.com. So, but as for today and this time of prayer, I'd like for us to consider one of the greatest prayers in the Bible, one of my favorite prayers in the Bible, and it's a prayer for the local church, for the local church in Ephesus. So if you have your, if you have a Bible, I'm going to read this, but if you have a Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 3 and find verse 14, and I'll read Paul's prayer for the Ephesians, Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. It's a great prayer. It helps us to understand the mission of your local church, my local church, and really the energizing power that fuels that mission. Now, you know, my greatest interest in the world for many, many years, most of my Christian life, was really for the prosperity of local churches and the condition of families that compose, you know, the members of those churches. But I love this prayer. I've prayed this prayer many times for the people in our church individually, considering them one by one and praying this prayer. But it's a prayer for the prosperity of a particular local church. So Ephesians 3:14, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So this passage helps us to understand how we should intercede for churches. Maybe we can intercede for churches today, specifically our churches, the churches that we know about. It's such a wonderful prayer to use to pray for people. I find, you know, prayer to be difficult. It's so helpful to me to have Scripture to give me the words to pray. This passage is so practical because it kind of paints a target, and it shows us how to pray, and it shows us what to pray. It tells us why we should pray, and then it tells us how the prayers will be fulfilled by the greatness of his power. So, you know, this passage is just so helpful. Notice, first of all, Paul's disposition. I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. I think it speaks of his disposition. This is not a prescriptive requirement for praying always on our knees, but it reveals Paul's disposition in his prayer, the tenderness of the prayer. He's coming to his Father. He has a Father, and he's you know, just tenderly speaking of his Father, a little bit like the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven. We have a Father. And it's also clear earlier in the passage in verse 12 of Ephesians 3, it's clear that we come boldly. But we learn here that coming boldly in prayer is not coming brashly. It's coming tenderly and humbly. And then the apostle gives the reason for the prayer. He states that there's a reason for the prayer in verse 14. For this reason. Why? Why is he doing this? Well, the reason he's praying is in verses 8 to 14, but particularly in verses 10 and 11. I'll just read that. He's praying to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the church, by the church, to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So he's praying that the wisdom of God would be made known through the church to the powers and the principalities, the angels, the demons, and all the, perhaps the great cloud of witnesses. There's something that the church is in the world. And so, and that is to make known the eternal purpose, which, God accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The world needs to know that. The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth to proclaim that. But then there's the prayer, and Paul prays for three things, and these are just very helpful guidelines. And first, that the Ephesian church, the corporate church body, and I'm sure the individuals as well, would be strengthened with might, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So he's praying for this inner strength, not that they'd be outwardly mighty, but they'd be inwardly mighty through the inner man, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Well, I thought they were Christians. Do they need faith? Well, there are a couple of ways that we can talk about faith. There's saving faith, but there's also a need for the development of our faith. Charles Hodge talks about the degrees of faith. And our faith is always needing to be strengthened. And so then the second thing that he prays for, that they would be rooted and grounded, not only that they'd be strengthened with might, but that they would be rooted and grounded, that you may be rooted and grounded in love, verse 17. And may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. So you have these two images, rooted and grounded. You have roots, tree roots that go down. Think of Psalm 1. They're well watered, and they bear fruit. And then grounded, that's the image of the house on a foundation. And, you know, your roots go deep, your foundation is strong. Think about Matthew 7, the two houses, the two foundations, one founded on the word of Christ and one not. And also just a sense of the vastness of the strength that God has for his people, that you be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. He's saying, I want you to grip it. I want you to grasp it. To comprehend means to grasp. And so I want you to grab it and hold, you know, hold onto it. Have grip strength of this thing. Of what? Of the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. There's nothing more beautiful than a church that understands that Christ loves them, that they are beloved sons, like the Son of God. We get so burdened by our weight of sin, we often forget that we're loved. And he's praying that they would have a sense of love. And then thirdly, that they might be filled with the fullness of God. That's in verse 19, the fullness of God. And of course, we could go to all kinds of places to talk about that, to the fruit of the Spirit in Ephesians 5:18 and in Galatians 5, just to see what the fullness of God looks like in your church, in your heart. But then finally, the apostle prays in such a way where we learn how these prayers are accomplished. In verse 20, he really ends in a doxology. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations. So this is a prayer for a local church. It's a prayer for your church and my church and the other churches that we know about. It's appropriate to pray it for individuals as well, that all these things would be accomplished according to the riches of the glory of his grace, and that he can do it exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. So there you have it, a prayer for a local church.